Good morning, all you Blue Jays fans and friends of the feather alike. So, we're back. Morning Mash here on the Bird Watching Gamecast. And it's been a nice weekend for the Toronto Blue Jays, other than a little bit of a loss on Saturday. They had a nice resurgence yesterday. We're going to talk minor league baseball from Sunday as well, as we kind of give you like a little bit of a farm report. Lots of good news on the minor league system side. So why don't we just dive right into everything here? We're going to start with your Toronto Blue Jays first. And the now 6-4 Toronto Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers yesterday 7-4. And in the midst of that, the Blue Jays jumped out with a giant lead in the first inning with a four-run first. And that was off of the bats of Steve Pearce. And funny enough, as much as we have talked about it and semi-griped about it, Kendrys Morales with a three-run bomb and went 2-for-4 in the game. Wow, I know, right? So, freak out much. And Kendrys Morales had a good game. That's one of the good signs for the Blue Jays. If he can somehow get away from all the naysayers and critics about how he's just kind of been a lump in the middle of the lineup in the DH spot. He's one of those guys that has plenty of potential, but the Blue Jays fans have really not seen it. He had 26 home runs, I believe, last season. But outside the home runs, Kendrys Morales was more or less the microcosm of what the Toronto Blue Jays lineup was a problem with it last season. All home runs and no fluff. So we'll see what happens. But it was very enticing to see Kendrys Morales get off the schneid and get a little bit going. So he's now sporting a .190 for his batting average. So that's a lot better than what he started at the game, surprisingly enough. That went up a good like 60 points. Unfortunately, he did strike out twice too while going 2-for-4 with 3 RBIs in the home run, as mentioned. I do like the Steve Pearce sighting, though. That's his second home run of the season. And this is something that Blue Jays fans haven't seen. And I was wondering when the Blue Jays got him last season what we really were going to get out of Steve Pearce. This is what he has. You know, he's going to run into one every once in a while, and he just makes solid good contact. He's a heck of a ball player, and he's got to find a way to get on the field first and stay on it. So the Curtis Granderson, Steve Pearce tandem is working great at this point, because even later in the game, Curtis Granderson came in, pinch hit, and got a run in. So that was an RBI for Grandy, and he is off to a hell of a start, batting .364. So it's an early season, yes, but it is very enticing to see, like I said, something go as planned. And Steve Pearce got into a couple games this weekend because the Texas Rangers have a plethora of left-handed pitching. And then the pinch hit late in the ball game has been the typical MO so far for this one. Even in a couple of situations on the flip-flop where Granderson has been in, and then they brought Steve Pearce in to play left at the end of the game to hold on to an at-bat or something like that. So also in this one, Russell Martin It was Luke Maley. I know, right? I forgot. That's just unfortunately how things are for Luke Maley. So he went 1-for-4 with a double, and he drove in and scored a run late in the ball game. And it was just good to see Luke Maley not only support Amy Garcia very well, but he was able to keep things going at the plate. And he's off to a decent start with the stick. So let's hope that Luke Maley can keep it going. And before he drove in Kevin Pillar with that single, a couple innings before, Kevin Pillar also had a single and drove in a run on a ground out. But that's the scoring for the Toronto Blue Jays. On the mound, as I mentioned, Jaime Garcia picks up his first win as a Toronto Blue Jay. And he was pretty good. You know, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts, and a home run, but while pitching 5 1/3 innings. So it was a strong start. Everybody forgets that we're not expecting Jaime Garcia to do a ton. He is our 5th starter, folks. So any kind of production, especially this level, is incredible. Think about the guys that we've had over the last few years in that number 5 role. in the rotation. And I don't need to remind you that, you know, R.A. Dickey was the best of those guys. So, you know, over the years, it's been a very, very weird mix of people. And last year, we had guys like Brett Oberholzer and other minor league pitchers, the Matt Latoses, TJ Houses of the world. Solid pitchers, but not guys I want to be filling a rotation with, is the catch. I call those guys quadruple A pitchers, and they are good enough to crush the minor league system for triple A, but they get to the majors, and for some reason, it just can't click. And it, yeah, that's unfortunately how it is. So Tyler Clippard got the last two outs in the sixth. One of those was a strikeout, but he did walk a batter. But that's the typical for Clippard. He is prone to walks and long balls. So just keep an eye out for that, and hopefully they don't put him in too many weird positions. But as far as everything has been concerned so far, I'm very happy with what we've gotten out of Tyler Clippard, and I think that extra pitch he added over the offseason with a splitter has been very efficient. Aaron Loop came in and only got one out, got two hits, as the Rangers tried to claw back into it. Ryan Tepera came on and slammed that door shut, and he even started the next inning. Tepera has been solid. And solid, and solid. So, Samuel Oh came in and got into more trouble. So, is it oh yes or oh no? There's an article on Jay's Journal this morning about, from Bram Panikkar, who has been a guest on the Birdwatching Gamecast, that is talking about that exact topic, as he collected one out and just and gave two hits in another effort for the Rangers to come back in this one. So, Roberto Osuna had to come in and pitch four outs in this one, and slam door. Osuna is completely at the top of his game right now. He didn't allow any hits while picking up those four outs. No base runners, and he struck out a batter. So, a perfect four hitters for Osuna. Picks up his fourth save, and the win for the Blue Jays and Yami Garcia. So, solid performance as the Blue Jays win the rubber game to go 6-4. They were going to be going on the road to Baltimore, where they're going to have Jay Happ pitch against Dylan Bundy this evening. So now let's talk minor league baseball. The Toronto Blue Jays AAA affiliate, Buffalo Bisons, has been trying to play here in Rochester, New York, where I am a resident. And we have not been able to watch any baseball here in Rochester because of winter weather. It has been terrible. There's been whiteout snow yesterday. If you saw the pictures on the Twitter account from the Rochester Red Wings or the Buffalo Bisons, you'll see that the field had a nice glazing of snow all over it all day yesterday. And it's unfortunate because Joe Biagini has been delayed now 3 days, and he's going to hopefully get the start tonight in Pawtucket, as the Bisons finally ditch my town where it is terrible winter still, apparently, and not spring. So, moving along, I got to get talk the big news in the Blue Jays minor league system as far as our farm report goes. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit his first home run as a New Hampshire Fisher Cat at the double A level, as the Cats completely destroyed the pitchers for the Hartford Yard Goats for 10 hits. The unfortunate thing is only 10 hits did not translate into a ton of runs, as they picked up just 4 runs in this game. And as I said, the home run by Vlad Jr. was just viciously hit, would be the best way of saying it. We retweeted a couple of the feeds on the Birdwatching Twitter account. Please take a look at that, because it is just annihilated and crushed, this pitch, as he picks up his first home run. Also, with two hits in this one, Bo Bichette went 2-for-4, and I have to say, the surprise, probably, of the New Hampshire Fisher Cats so far, we all know he had the talent, but Cadden Biggio has been doing nothing but crush the ball, and crush it yesterday, he did. And he picked up his first home run of the year in the 7th inning to really kind of get things going for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. And then he was followed with the Vlad home run in the 8th. So things are looking very, very good to start the season for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, which is the biggest collection of top prospects I've seen on a minor league team, and just talent in general in a very, very long time. You're getting guys like Lourdes Gurriel lost in the shuffle with how much talent there is at this level. And he also went 2-for-4. And he's just one of the guys that have been crushing the ball. And Kevin Biggio, him and are both above the 400 level very highly after the first four games. So the 4-0 New Hampshire Fisher Cats are off and running. So let's go down further. Let's go down to Dunedin, where the Dunedin Blue Jays picked up another win, or 3-1. The defending co-champions for the Florida State League are off to a good start. And they have the talent that they could probably be a back-to-back team if they really could keep things going. A lot of it's going to depend on where the development of these players go. But the Florida State League is laid out so that you have a first-half winner and a second-half winner. So they have a chance to run away with it early and still make the playoffs. A little odd, different playoff mix for how that league works, but the idea is that the talent does move around so much. You have to keep it going that way, I guess. So, Joshua Palacios crushing the Florida State League pitching after making a short debut with the team last season. Palacios is batting .533 in the first four games. He went 3-for-5 yesterday with 2 RBIs, crushing the Florida State League pitching, as I had mentioned. The big story in this one, other than Palacios, is Nash Knight crushing and being kind of the spark plug for the team yesterday. Not only did he walk the lead off a rally in one inning, he also home run the lead off an inning, and that was his second of the year. And Big Nash Knight is coming, turning into Mash Knight, according to the Dunedin Blue Jays Twitter account. So it is very good to see him. I did forget to mention that Palacios stole a base in this one. Actually, yeah, so it's his second of the year. And just, this team is stocked as well. And this is just goes to show you what the Toronto Blue Jays have been doing in the minor league system and why they are the number 9 ranked minor league system in all of baseball at the moment. So on the mound, John DeGraff got off to a rough start. The Blue Jays were down in this one right off the bat, 3-0. And it was mostly because they jumped all over DeGraff. So after that, though, you would think that he would be, you know, demoralized and wouldn't be able to pitch anymore and things would be bad. But DeGraff settled right in and just mowed down the hitters for this remainder of his outing. He ended up pitching 6 innings and was solid. He allowed 4 hits in the first inning that totaled to 3 runs. He allowed just 1 more hit for the remainder of the game. No more runs, only 1 walk, and struck out a pair. So, DeGraff, awesome job. That is what we want to see out of any player, regardless of where they're playing at this level. Don't get down. Keep fighting, everybody. That is the way of the baseball player in general. So, Travis Bergen came in and continued to hold down the fort as he pitched 2 innings, struck out 3, allowed just 1 hit. And then Kirby Snead came in for the save to give DeGraff the win after a rough outing. Bergen picked up a hold, and the Dunedin Blue Jays win. So, I'm going to go over really, really quick that the Lansing Lugnuts had a doubleheader after getting an inclement weather cancellation on Saturday. They unfortunately got shelled in the first 7-inning game against the Great Lakes Loons, and 11-6 loss, and they were knocking on the door for a while until a 5-run 5th inning for the Loons really separated the gap, and just, yeah, that was it. Rich Smith picked up a home run in this one and was very good at the plate. But other than that, outside that, the Lugnuts hitters had a really hard time getting the big inning together. Casey Clemens Went 2-for-3, picked up an RBI in this one as well. So, yeah, that's just unfortunately how things go. Kevin Smith picked up 2 RBIs in this one while going 1-for-3. So, moving on to the next game. They lost as well, and it was a 5-2 loss in this one. And so the Lansing Lugnuts are 2-2, but Casey Clemens hit his first home run of the season in the other game for this 1-for-2 with 2 RBIs. And that was really the offense for the Lansing Lugnuts, who only had 2 hits in the entire game. And the pitching kind of got jumped on early again with a 3-run first and a 2-run third. So Lansing Lugnuts are having a hard time as of the doubleheader yesterday. But things are looking up. They're on the road, and they got a good team. They're going to hit. They need to find a way to pitch. So anyways, that is the morning mash, everybody. Welcome back after a long weekend. I hope you're settling in with a good cup of coffee on a long show today, because we did all the minor league stuff today, too. I hope you enjoyed your commute to work just as much as I did. And I hope we all want to talk more Blue Jays baseball. We're shooting for the next live game, possibly this weekend, against the Cleveland Indians when the Blue Jays move into town to go hang out at Progressive Field to cap off their series before their home opener. Or not the home opener, their return home. So, anyways, Blue Jays baseball is always here at the Birdwatching Gamecast. Thank you for listening to the Morning Mash, and I hope you all enjoy your cup of coffee and your Monday morning.